This is Focus West Michigan for Friday, December 19, 2025. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. Lowell Township is putting a hold on consideration of a data center rezoning application after the developer requested a pause. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the latest.
The applicant, who is being represented by developer Franklin Partners, has yet to be named but is asking Lowell Township officials for, quote, an indefinite suspension of the application and its approval process until such a time that Franklin is prepared to resume the application approval process. At such time, Franklin will provide written notice to the township requesting resumption of the application and its approval process, end quote. Franklin Partners is representing the American-owned company interested in constructing a data center in Covenant Business Park, a 237-acre industrial site on Alden Nash Avenue Southeast. The township's announcement follows last week's City of Lowell Facebook post indicating it was suspending its participation in the potential project. In a statement, Township Supervisor Jerry Hale wrote, quote, our planning commission is removing this application from its January agenda, but remains open to reconsider a rezoning request in the future, if and when the applicant renews its request and provides more public information, end quote. A public hearing planned for January 12th at Lowell High School has been canceled. I'm David Limbaugh.
Microsoft's rezoning request, paving the way for a data center, has been postponed by Gaines Township leaders. WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
It was an overcapacity crowd that forced Gaines Township leaders to postpone Thursday's public hearing on Microsoft's request to rezone a property located at Patterson Avenue and 76th Street, southeast of Grand Rapids. In recent months, community leaders across Michigan have heard from residents raising concerns about data centers and their massive energy and water use, noise, environmental impacts, energy grid stability, and transparency of development deals. Supporters cite tax revenue, jobs, and investment as project benefits. In Gaines Township, the rezoning to light industrial use would match the zoning of the adjacent property that Microsoft would likely use to build a data center, says Community Development Director Dan Wells, although he notes no formal plans have been submitted. Wells says this is the second rezoning request postponement. The first public hearing was in February, but he says no one showed up. Fast forward to Thursday's hearing when more than 250 people showed up, exceeding fire regulations. By law, failure to allow public access could violate the Open Meetings Act. Wells says the hearing will be rescheduled to a larger venue. Details and date should be announced soon. I'm Dee Morrison.
It's costing consumers energy millions of dollars to keep operating the J.H. Campbell coal-burning power plant in West Olive past its retirement date. But WGVU's Phil Dawson reports one Ottawa County commissioner says electricity generated at the plant is making money that offsets some of the expense.
We often hear about the total expense, but we don't hear about the income that's brought in by that plant.
Ottawa County Commissioner Sylvia Rohde says the numbers she's seen show the extended operation of the J.H. Campbell power plant in West Olive is actually earning profits for consumers' energy.
As of September, the cost was estimated to be $30 million, and the profit was estimated to be $31.4 million. They're making at least that much in profit.
But in October, the utility reported an $80 million loss after subtracting J.H. Campbell income. Consumers plan to retire the coal plant at the end of May, but the Trump administration ordered continued operation to ensure an adequate supply of electricity. Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel is in court trying to overturn the order.
Consumers Energy has said, we don't need this coal plant. It's going to cost so much more money to keep it open.
Nessel and others say the order to keep the plant open is a political move to support the coal industry. And Commissioner Allison Meadema says any additional cost won't all be on Ottawa County or Michigan.
The costs are spread throughout many states, not just here.
I'm Phil Dawson.
Ottawa County Commissioners voted to settle a job termination lawsuit with a former board member. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
Ottawa County Commissioners voted unanimously Thursday to pay Chris Kleinians $112,500, settling the lawsuit he brought against Commissioner Joe Moss and three Michigan State University Extension Service supervisors. Kleinians was an MSU Extension community nutrition instructor before he was terminated in June 2024. That termination came after he won a recall election to fill Ottawa County's vacant 2nd District Commission seat. Kleinians filed a federal lawsuit claiming he lost his job over, quote, political pressure, accusing then-board chair Joe Moss of meeting with MSU Extension staff to discuss Kleinians and his job. That meeting allegedly happened the day after Kleinians announced he would run against then-District 2 Commissioner Lucy Ebel. Both Ebel and Moss are members of the conservative political group Ottawa Impact. Kleinians is a Democrat. This is one of several lawsuits commissioners have settled this year due to controversial actions taken by the board in 2023 and 2024. During that time, the majority of the board was controlled by Ottawa Impact members. In November 2024, Kleinians ran to keep his commission seat but lost to Republican Jordan Joritsma. I'm David Limbaugh.
Grand Rapids Gerald R. Ford International Airport heads into the busy holiday travel season with a record high number of passengers again this year. WGVU's Dee Morrison reports on what the airport is planning for 2026 to meet the continued growth.
More than 193,000 passengers are expected to come and go through Gerald R. Ford International Airport between December 19th and January 2nd, says Communications Supervisor Heidi Grunboom.
Our busiest days are expected to be Friday, December 19th. And Monday with more than 14,000 passengers.
Total numbers for 2025 are tracking higher than 2024, breaking the record again with more than 4 million passengers. With that growth comes expansion. The terminal enhancement project that increases the ticketing counters and baggage claim will be opening in 2026, as well as the consolidated rental car facility.
This is Michigan's first new rental car facility with a quick turnaround. In that building, you can wash your car, fill up gas, kind of improve that efficiency as well.
The new year will also bring new routes starting in May.
One to Santa Ana, California, so that Orange County area, and then also Philadelphia as well, both on Allegiant.
Plans to relocate the airport's control tower are still waiting for federal approval.
With that relocation would come discussions about that hotel and what other types of expansion we can do with that.
I'm Dee Morrison.
Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. Michigan energy regulators conditionally okayed a plan to power a massive data center project during a meeting on Thursday. Colin Jackson has more.
The vote faced massive backlash over environmental concerns and because the plan skipped a longer review. Michigan Public Service Commissioner Catherine Peretic says the contract has plenty of safeguards.
The termination payment outlined by the contract ensures that if the customer leaves early, ratepayers won't be left on the hook for costs accrued to serve the customer.
The Saline Township-based data center would draw more energy than an average nuclear reactor, a lot more power than what's currently available. Local resident Beth Foley says it was worth a deeper look.
There is potential for egregious harm by fast-tracking this, with no downside in taking your time and ensuring you got it right.
The project is backed by tech companies OpenAI and Oracle. I'm Colin Jackson in Lansing.
The Michigan legislature adjourned on Thursday for the year, capping a session where a politically divided House and Senate often struggled to reach deals. We have more from Rick Pluta.
Republican House Speaker Matt Hall says there were accomplishments, but it's noteworthy that the legislature is on track to enact the fewest number of new laws in any year since Michigan became a state.
We're proud. You know, we focused on quality, not quantity.
I think it's really strange that he is so proud of not doing his job. So that's my first impression.
Democratic Senate Majority Leader Winnie Brink says she thinks missed opportunities include making health care and housing more affordable. The legislature will reconvene in January, which also launches an election year when every seat is on the ballot. I'm Rick Pluta in Lansing.
Avatar: Fire and Ash is in theaters, the third in the James Cameron series, the biggest epic for the holiday season. The SpongeBob movie Search for SquarePants is screening from A Pineapple Under the Sea, and The Housemaid, based on the best-selling novel, brings its thrills to cinema. WGVU Scott Vanderwerf and Zach Rigetti from Studio C talk about all those movies and what's opening next week.
This is the only pure thing in this world. The fire came from the mountain, burnt our forest. My people cried for help, but Eva did not come.
And the big movie, of course, for this weekend, and one of the big movies of the year, is the latest from James Cameron, continuing Avatar. And this is Avatar Fire and Ash. And Zach, I know you haven't seen it yet, but what are you hearing about it?
Yeah, I think, as far as I can tell, audiences out there are loving this one. I think it's slated around 80 or 90% now from an audience score on Rotten Tomatoes. And I think the critics have it a little around 70. And I think that's just due to the case of, like, we're the third movie into, you know, this pretty massive franchise. But also, just kind of, I feel like the way that this story maybe is coming together, like, for me personally, I feel like the trailer looks similar to the second movie, Way of Water. And so I think it just from a critic's standpoint, just kind of like, it doesn't maybe feel like there's much there new. But
I did watch two critics, one of whom is a print critic, but they also do a podcast. And they both had the same, they agreed on the fact that they really thought it was beautifully done, but it was just too much because they said there was a lot of repetition, that it essentially, if it was about 45 minutes shorter, it would have been more effective. That was their perspective.
Yeah, and I mean, it's 3 hours and 17 minutes long. It's 2 minutes longer than Way of Water was. And so it is a long movie. And I think there is, you know, there is part of it too where you've got James Cameron's genius behind this. I mean, I just saw a video about how they shoot these things, you know, on the virtual space and all that stuff. And you know, Cameron was kind of, he can literally, because it's all virtual, wherever he can put the camera wherever he wants. And he straight up said, you know, in the interview, it's kind of like, I'm sure you're wondering, like, how do you get around sort of like decision fatigue? Because you can put the camera anywhere you want, you know, you have to eventually make a decision on where you want to put it. And so I think that does attribute to just the genius behind James Cameron on like pushing the forms of this sort of storytelling. You know, Avatar, the first one, I mean, it was revolutionary when it came out over 10 years ago. And, you know, Way of Water was 2022. And so here we are 3 years later on the next one. And yeah, I mean, I think people who love this franchise will love this movie. And I think people who are sort of interested will also really enjoy it. Like, it's a long movie, but you're right back into Pandora. You're right back into the story. And it's picking up right where the last one left off. So there's some good stuff. Plus, you know, you've got 3D format. You've got the IMAX 3D format. And I will note, too, you know, one of my favorite things looking forward to next year, but there's a longer cut of a Christopher Nolan movie next year, The Odyssey, on the IMAX screen that you can only see on the IMAX screen. So, and part of the trailer pack. So, yeah, there's just a lot going on. There's filmmakers on top of filmmakers, but I'm really excited for this movie.
Also opening, the SpongeBob movie, Search for SquarePants. And I was very surprised to see, although the TV show started 26 years ago in 1999, that this is the first SpongeBob movie. I would have thought there would have been others before this. And myself personally, given all of the horrible things that happen in the world, I would like to live in a pineapple under the sea. What are you hearing about the SpongeBob movie?
Well, I'll tell you, I don't know where you're getting your information. I think this is the fourth SpongeBob movie.
Oh, it is? Okay. Yeah. I got it on Wikipedia.
Well,
I went and
we got to go change Wikipedia, apparently. There's been a few. I don't know how many of them have been theatrical. I know that there's at least one from a few years ago that was.
Okay, I'm glad to be corrected because SpongeBob deserves more movies than just one 26 years later.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're on our way for a story of bravery and, you know, comedy, really. SpongeBob goes on a journey with the Flying Dutchman, who is voiced by Mark Hamill in this movie, to sort of prove his bravery to Mr. Krabs. So, yeah, I mean, we're right back at Bikini Bottom. And, I mean, if you love SpongeBob, you're going to love this movie.
And then also we have The Housemaid, which is directed by Paul Feig, starring Sydney Sweeney and Amanda Seyfried. This is based on a novel by Freda McFadden, who is a thriller writer and also a practicing physician specializing in brain injury. And again, if Wikipedia is correct, if I counted correctly, she's written 29 novels since 2013. And I've seen the trailer for this, and I'm not sure what to make of it from watching the trailer, like, who's the good guy, who's the bad guy.
Yeah, totally. And I think, you know, from Amanda Seyfried and even Sydney Sweeney, like, both of them are playing their roles so perfectly where you don't really, you know, you are really asking which one of these is sort of like who's in the right. Yeah, it is sort of this thriller. I thought initially, I mean, I haven't read the book, but when I heard this movie was coming out, initially I thought that it was going to be more of like a romantic thriller, which it also kind of maybe seems like maybe it is. But I know people who read the book are going to, you know, think I'm crazy. But yeah, I think it looks fantastic. Paul did A Simple Favor, and he did the second Simple Favor, another Simple Favor movies, which I genuinely love, and they're sort of like thriller-esque. And so, yeah, based on a book and a great movie to have.
And then also David, which is a family animation faith-based movie here, right over here for Christmas time.
Yeah, coming from Angel Studios is the story of David from the Bible and the, you know, David versus Goliath all the way to sort of becoming, you know, King David in that story. They're doing a promotion on their own website with the Pay It Forward campaign where, you know, kids can go free to this movie. So due to basically financial contribution onto the Angel website. So there's a little bit of drive there. If you want to take your kids and want to go for a cheaper ticket, you can do it that way.
All right. So this is our final conversation for 2025. But we do have three movies that are going to be opening right before Christmas, Anaconda, Marty Supreme, and Song Sung Blue. So tell us about those.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah, so we got this weekend is all those movies, and then Anaconda, Marty Supreme, and Song Sung Blue are Christmas Day. We'll start Anaconda. This is incredible. Jack Black, Paul Rudd, they're both filmmakers or, you know, love film, grew up making movies in this movie, and decide that they want to reboot Anaconda. The Anaconda movie we all know, Ice Cube and J-Lo. And so they travel to Brazil and go into the rainforest. And turns out while they're trying to reboot Anaconda, there's just also a massive anaconda. And so their reboot becomes the reboot, if you will. There's a couple scenes in this movie that I haven't laughed that hard in a long time, and it's very stupid humor, but it is fantastic. So if you're looking for a comedy around Christmas and the holiday season, you've got that one lined up. And then Marty Supreme seems to be the A24 Oscar baity movie here with Timothy Chalamet, who plays Marty, who wants to be the best there ever has been.
And this is a true story.
Based on
a
true story.
He's a ping pong player.
He's a ping pong player. Yeah, he wants to be the best ping pong player there is in the world. And it's Josh Safdie directed this, who the last movie he did was Uncut Gems with Adam Sandler. And this has got Josh Safdie written all over it. It feels just like his movies. There's chaos. It sort of puts its foot on the gas and never pulls it off until the very end. But yeah, you just kind of roll with Timmy as he wants to literally become the world's greatest ping pong player. And he's going to do whatever he can to make that happen and his dreams come alive. So there's a lot of people that get in the way or also, you know, sort of get left behind. And that's just sort of the story that you get from here. And then finally, Song Sung Blue, which is coming from Focus. Another, I mean, again, you're probably going to hear more about this again in the Oscars. But you've got two incredible actors, Hugh Jackman. Hugh Jackman, yeah, and Kate Hudson. And it's based on a true story, another based on a true story. There was a Milwaukee cover band called Thunder and Lightning. They covered Neil Diamond. And this is based on their story and sort of the things that have happened to them in their lives and how they sort of overcame those things and sort of a drama, if you will. There's a point in the movie where that, you know, sort of unfolds a little bit and kind of catches you off guard, I would say, a little bit. But it is a great movie. It's a fantastic time. And so all I'll say is you've got plenty of options as you're looking for what movies you want to see this holiday season.
And Song Sung Blue may do well here in Grand Rapids because Neil Diamond wrapped up one of his big final farewell tours here at the Van Andel. So,
yep, absolutely. I mean, literally, if you go to Milwaukee and ask someone about Lightning and Thunder, they know who Lightning and Thunder is. So it's pretty incredible.
All right, Zach, well, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. We'll see you in 2026.
Yeah, happy holidays, Scott.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Friday, December 19, 2025. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan on Monday. Thanks for listening.